Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, guys, Granato out until Monday. It's going to be me and Dell, so if you would like to jump in on anything we talked about, you know, tattoos for money, Rockets playoff caliber team without KPJ and Jalen Green, Eric Gordon being the most heralded player in free agency, or rather the trade deadline. Tank Dell potentially making himself some money here.
Can I ask you about a prospect?
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of tweets about this guy, one of my guys, Tyreek Stevenson. Big corner, played kind of a nickel linebacker spot at Georgia before he transferred to Miami. Dropped some weight to play corner at Miami. A lot of rave reviews. Did you get to see him up close?
Yeah, he's good looking. Like, big corner, which is going to get him some love. I've got a 62 grade on him, which is average NFL starter. I do think he's going to become a starter. He had a good – I didn't focus as much on DBs, but that was a guy who popped up a couple times. Dane Brugler and I did a podcast afterwards, and he had a lot of good things to say about Tyreek Stevenson. And then a team guy who I talked to from an NFC team yesterday was like, I really liked Stevenson guy. He had a good practice today. So, yeah, I think Tyreek is impressing people. He's big. I want to say he's like 207.
Yeah.
6 foot, 6 foot one. He's got good size. So, yeah, I think he's a guy that is I know his instincts and awareness sometime were just okay, if I remember correctly what I wrote up. But Tyreek Stevenson has helped himself, and he's one of those guys that I expect cornerbacks who should go on day two, maybe probably round two, to be honest with you, as long as he runs okay. As long as he runs okay, you'd prefer him to be into the 4.4s, but even if he's 4.5, 4.51, because of how big he is. And they played, I want to say that he's a zone, that he needs to be playing zone, or maybe, no, he needs to be playing man, I think, press man. How did Miami play him, Dell?
Well, he played under two different coordinators because he transferred in and he spent a year under Manny Diaz, who's like this fire zone guy, and they played off coverage. And then when Kevin Steele got there, he played more man. It was that defense was mismatched. I don't know if guys even knew what they were doing half the time. Just guys didn't pick up the system.
Yeah.
But so they played some man, and he was at his best when he can get up into a guy and bully him. The number of times Miami fans were exacerbated by watching a 3rd and 12 given up because you're playing a soft zone and the corner's nowhere in the vicinity, just because of how the defense is set up, was a thing over the last couple of years. So watching him play, letting him just take a guy and get after him was his best skill set.
I remember him now. He struggled from off man. And then he had mental bust in zone, like several against him. I remember he gave up two long plays where he was fooled against North Carolina.
Yeah.
I think it was North Carolina. So, yeah, he had too many mental busts in zone. And then off man, he's just not really designed to pattern match. But he was tough from press. And so I've got in here that he needs to be a press man corner. That's who he is. And I remember asking Alonzo, and he said the same thing. Good player, press man corner. That's who he's going to be. So, yeah, I think he's probably a second-round pick if I had to guess. Chris is still on hold, I believe, and wants to talk about a tattoo. So let's find out what Chris would be willing to do for this tattoo.
Hey, guys. This isn't really about a tattoo, but it does involve Longhorn Scott. So I once asked him if his daughter got a full scholarship, you know, all include everything.
Is this true? Okay, hold on a second. Is this true? Do you actually know Longhorn Scott?
I do. I know him well.
Okay. Okay.
Our daughters played softball together. We coached together, so we're friendly.
I got you. Okay.
We always go back and forth. I'm an Aggie. He's a Longhorn. You know, whatever. But he claims to hate Oklahoma more than anything. So I asked him. I said, "What if one of your daughters got a full ride to Oklahoma? You know, room and board, the whole deal. You know, she gets the whole education, and you don't come out of pocket a nickel." And he swears up and down he would not let her go.
My wife said the same thing about Oklahoma. My wife said the same thing. She was ready for him to be an Aggie. She was ready for Alec to be an Aggie, but she refused if Oklahoma. Now, that offer never applied, but she swears the same thing, Chris.
I just don't get that.
I don't either.
I mean, I get it. Like, it's fun to hate your rival, but that much?
I like money better.
Anyway. I just thought that it was interesting. He's kind of a ball of hate when it comes to Oklahoma. He's a lot like Dell.
Yeah, a lot like Dell. Dell is the embodiment of Texas hate of Oklahoma.
No, I don't subscribe to that because most of the time, I don't hate. I just don't care.
Your indifference is misconstrued.
People have an issue with indifference because they feel like if you don't like either you like them or you hate them. I don't dislike people. I just don't care about you. Mm. And that's not
where that stems from. You think that happened whenever the basketball was too big for the truck and you couldn't sleep?
No,
there
it's
together?
Just a lack of energy. I don't feel like I need to devote any energy to caring about some people one way or the other. So, look, most people honestly are take it or leave them, and I think most people feel that way about people. But then they add on, well, I don't like them. No, you don't dislike them. You don't even care.
But Dell, people who aren't sociopaths, we pretend to like we just have common
manners.
Why do I have
to pretend? Why are you lying to people?
Here's the thing. Because we're in the South and we have manners here. Okay. And our manners are, I'm not going to, I'll smile in your face and talk about you behind
that's
your back.
That's worse.
No,
I won't talk about you behind your back because I won't think about you 20 seconds after meeting you.
Del, that's called manners.
It's not manners to talk about someone behind their back.
You got a very New York attitude, Del. And it's time I just say this.
Okay.
You got a very New York way of doing things. You're curt. You don't have manners.
Let's ask look, you've had this issue with me for a while. Let's have. Ask an unbiased observer, RJ.
Okay.
Let's ask RJ.
RJ, tell the truth.
And by the way,
he's
got a Knicks hat on, so let's see if he's got a New York attitude as well. RJ, let's say someone is fake nice to you, and then you find out they're talking behind your back. Would you like that better because of the first interaction where they weren't quote unquote rude to you? Or
well, wait a minute, you're saying
you said,
you're throwing out a
but you said they were talking behind.
They
your
don't
back.
Know. They don't know.
Whatever.
Dell.
Whatever.
No, that's called manners to.
It's not manners to talk about. It's not manners
and not be
someone.
Ugly to their face.
It's not manners to talk about someone behind their back in a negative
it's
way.
Called good manners.
Fine, you stop trying your case. I haven't even got to the back half of my question. You can get to it, or would you prefer someone to be indifferent to you to your face, but also be indifferent to you later on when they're away from you?
Like, just tell me how you feel just straight up.
But what if it's not even a negative feeling they have for you? They just don't have a feeling one way or the other, and then behind your back or whatever you want to call it, they still feel that way. They don't even talk about you. Or would you prefer the fakeness and then later on, oh, RJ's kind of
– No, hold on. Would you prefer the fakeness and then not know? And then not know how they're talking about you?
No.
No, he would – even still, he would rather someone be straight up.
Yeah, just be straight up.
I think that's what everyone would prefer. And I'm not being rude. I'm just being indifferent. You, with their fake niceness, that's a trash way to treat someone. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's not a trash way to treat someone to act like you care. It's not a bad thing to
not
act
if you don't
like
care.
You care.
If you don't really care, don't
yeah,
care.
Sure it is. We do it all the time.
Not me.
Hey, sir. Well, okay. Really? Have you ever waited tables, Del? Here, let me
give
you
an example.
I've actually never
waited tables.
Okay. I'm going to go over – well, yeah. Well, you don't care how people's pizza tastes either. But let me just go over it right. Hey guys, how's everything tasting? I don't really care how everything's tasting, honestly.
But that's a social contract, the waiter and that's different. That's a social contract.
We all have a
social
contract, Del.
But I didn't sign up for that job, so I don't have to have that social contract.
Our social contract is to pretend like we like each other in real life too.
But if I
Well, maybe not like, we pretend like we tolerate, except now there's a lot of people who don't pretend, and they're breaking a social contract. And while they actively hate, you don't actively hate. I will say you're actively indifferent, but wouldn't your life be better if people thought you liked them a little bit?
Probably not. There's no real – how does my life better if I have to expend energy
being fake? Because
then
they'll invite you places.
I don't want to be invited anywhere, though. Why would I – then I have to turn down the invite. It makes my life worse.
Yeah, but you could end up making a friend.
But I don't want that friend. Clearly, if I'm being indifferent to
– How tight is your friend circle? I've noticed it's a lot of girls in your friend circle, Dale, that you've got a lot of girls, which immediately is suspicious because I already know every guy – here, let me just say it out loud in case any of y'all are wondering. Every guy will tell you this. Oh, here's the girl. Oh, I've got a really good guy friend at work. Okay. No, it's not like that. We're just really good friends. Okay. Okay. I would tell if my wife worked somewhere, I've always believed this because I know it's true. And you got to admit the truth here too, Dell. Don't start lying here because you're trying to cover up some girls listening or your mom's listening.
What do you want me to admit to? I'm not even sure.
Admit to that. Especially at the workplace, but just in general.
There are no women here.
Men and women being best friends is not a thing.
I'm not best friends with any. I wouldn't say I'm a best friend with any women. No.
Is it a thing where guys want to willingly be a best friend with no strings attached with a woman? Yes or no?
Well, it depends on what the woman looks like.
Thank you. Now you're in John's seat and you're acting like John.
That's just the truth. I'm not trying to be John. I'm just telling the truth. You want to know how tight my friend circle is? You know that feeling you get when Ryan Pressly walks a couple guys in a one-score game and how puckered up you get? That's how tight my friend circle is.
Wow, that's a tight, anxiety-ridden friend circle.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That tells me all I need. Boy, that's pretty descriptive there. That's a puck.
I was just trying to give you an example you can understand.
Yeah, no, that's a tight friend circle. And I think I just said out loud what we all needed to just get out there. I don't believe that men and women – I don't believe a man is just a platonic best friend in very, very small amounts of cases.
It's unique.
Is that true?
And I think
– he may trick you. And see, Dale, that's where we get to the pretend to think one thing and really have another agenda. And that's just manners or it's being sneaky.
No, I think there are extenuating circumstances that lead to being a platonic friendship. But that's – I don't think that's – I think it's rare that that's the initial – attempt or the initial approach. There may be things where you sense that this isn't happening and you still like talking to that person, so you're friends, or there's just this giant difference of opinion on things and you can never date. But generally it's like, well, I'm gonna try this, and if it doesn't work out, we'll see how things go afterwards. I'm with you. I'm not gonna pretend like men and women are just unique. Ooh. Can just be friends all the time.
Oh my God, Holly just tweeted and said, I'm just glad Dell is my best friend.
That's a misread on whatever she thinks, whatever relationship
Holly,
we have.
Holly,
I'm just going to let you know I'm not friends
with
a lot
of people. I'm
sorry
I put that realness out there for you, Holly, but she already had you read. Don't worry, Dale.
What is she
likes the Philadelphia Eagles. She's got that attitude that she can sniff you out.
No, that's the thing. The fact that she's a Philly fan is kind of abhorrent, honestly. Let's be clear. Who wants to hang out with a Philly fan?
They're tough to hang out with sometimes.
That's all I'm
saying.
You
can't really go to a bar. No. You can't really go to a bar and have drinks with them because at some point you may have to jump in because they're the ones who are liable to. I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of Philly fans that are happy drunks. I feel like they're more likely to be belligerent drunks. Not only they're more likely, it's been proven scientifically. They're belligerent drunks.
Yeah, I said at the beginning of the show or the beginning of the week. There's nothing good about the Eagles being in the Super Bowl, and it has everything to do with their fans.
If they lose, it's still dangerous. Like, it's going to be dangerous.
Yeah, at least they'll be sad. And they don't run this city, so if they lose, it doesn't affect me.
I'd be sad if I were you and I was paying too much for homeowners insurance. I promise that much. I'd be very sad if I had 5 to 6 consecutive years of the same homeowners insurance. And then you hear me tell you that if you text the word money to 232323, you'll get a firm quote on A-rated insurance company within 15 seconds. What's going to happen is TGS Insurance is going to shop for competitive quotes for you from multiple A-rated insurance companies. And the best rate from these A-rated companies is what's going to get texted back to you. It takes just seconds because the system is set up that way with the algorithm they have with these different companies. But here's the problem. You're going to feel sad at first when you realize how much money you've been throwing away for the last several years. But you'll be happy that the nightmare has ended and you can actually start to put that money back in your pocket. If you don't shop for competitive rates, and I mean, this is anything, guys. This is your satellite, your stream, streaming's a little bit tougher, but anything where you can negotiate rates a little bit or you can find competitive pricing, you really need to do it because you're going to find that the savings are going to be substantial. You want to make sure that you have the quality, which is the A-rated homeowners insurance. But man, why don't you put more of your money back in your pocket? And all you have to do, you don't have to sit on phone and sit on hold for hours. All you have to do is text the word money to 232323. That's 232323, tgsinsurance.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
713-780-3776. RJ, if we have any callers, let's get to them right now. I do not know. Well, Brandon and Justin, we're up. Let's see. Is Brandon here? What's going on, Brandon?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I just had a draft question for you, Lance. What have you been seeing out of any Michigan guys this week? I know all of what Timmy's up there and DJ Turner, as well as like Schoonmaker. You got anybody going like first or second round?
Schoonmaker, I like a lot. Schoonmaker is the guy who's most likely to go in the second round, I think. Oluwatimi is going to be – there's been too much public – I think the public perception of him is way off. He's more like a fourth-round center. I don't really know how – I know he was highly decorated, but there's not – I didn't love the tape at all, and I've been checking with teams to see if I saw him, you know, if my view of him was a little different, and they all have about the same thing. So I'm not sure he's even going to go on day two. Schoonmaker will be drafted, I think, in round two, but maybe round three. But he's talented, man. He's a good blocker. He can catch. Like I said, this is a great tight end draft, and he's one of them. Your tackle, what's his name? Haynes. He has really struggled with power rushers. He's been just getting really pushed around. So that's been a little bit of an issue. Mike Morris, to me, will go late first to early second. That'll be the highest drafted Michigan Wolverine, I think. Mazi Smith will be a second-rounder. Schoonmaker, I've got a second, third on him is where I expect him to get drafted. Oluwatimi, I expect in the fourth. Ryan Hayes, I had in the fourth, but I think that's going to he has not had a great week, so I actually think he's going to drop. And then Ronnie Bell has some – I think he's going to have some speed limitations, so – I think Ronnie Bell will probably go later in the draft, although he's really consistent, really productive. But that's kind of where I think that'll play out. So the Michigan guys who are here, though, Oluwatimi, he's here. Ronnie Bell is here. Schoonmaker's not here. Michigan State guy, Jaden Reed, is playing really well. Ryan Hayes, I think, is going to fall in the draft to day three. I'm going to have to adjust his grade a little bit because he's just doesn't look like he can handle power rushers. And if you can't, they will just wear you out in the NFL. So hopefully that answers that. 713-780-3776. Let's get Justin in here. What's going on, Justin?
Hey guys, quick comment before I ask a draft question on the, what you would do in terms of tattoos. You could put just about any tattoo you wanted on me if you're going to pay off my mortgage. So I'll start with that. And I think 90% of the people I know would agree.
Yeah, common sense. Now, is that change if it's a visible tattoo?
Honestly, no, it doesn't change at all. You can put it where you want, what you want. I'm not worth. If you're going to pay off my mortgage, I'm in. Let's go. So that's my opinion. In terms of, what'd you say?
That seems sensible.
Yeah, I mean, it matters, right? I don't like being in debt on the house, so I'd like to get it done with, but... on the draft, I saw a couple prospects that just seemed like freak athletes that I wanted to see if you had scouted at all or done any study on it. Trenton Simpson and Devon Witherspoon, they look like multiple freaks on the defensive side. Wanted to see what you thought of them. So thanks.
I think Trenton Simpson is a freak. He's very, very fast. He's just not very instinctive. I think, you know, for me, he's going to be a better tester than football player from Clemson. Dell, you saw him plenty. You may have an opinion on Trenton Simpson. I think he's a guy that will be in on a lot of plays because he's really fast, and so he can get there. He just didn't strike me as a guy that reads, like, he doesn't read the play design and make instinctive linebacker plays. I just think he's a really good athlete. But that matters. It matters in the NFL. So he'll be drafted. I think he'll be drafted on day two. And then the other one was Devon Witherspoon from the cornerback from Illinois. He's one of the guys that is really beloved in a lot of circles. I think he's being pushed a little too high by the media. So the numbers, you know, you see him in the top 5, 8. I'm kind of curious how he's going to run because he doesn't always carry his long speed. But he makes a ton of plays. He's really aggressive. He's smart. I put a first round grade on him. But, for me, he'd be more like the back end of the first. But only not because of how he plays, just because I have some questions about guys getting open against him. But he's a guy that will test. I think he's going to test okay. But, yeah, he's a first-round pick. Both of the guys, Simpson more of a day two pick. Witherspoon is going to be one of the corners. I think Christian Gonzalez from Oregon. These are all guys, by the way, I'm looking at for the Texans too. So Christian Gonzalez from Oregon, freak daddy athlete. He's a guy, if he's at 12, I would 100% look at him, although he's a little bit more of an athlete than he is a polished corner right now. But I think he's got the most upside. Joey Porter Jr. from Penn State, I kind of like him. Big press corner. And then 12 might be a little rich, but they still could look at that if they wanted a corner. And then, as you mentioned, Witherspoon, he's another guy that's going to be in the mix there in the first round.
Yeah, Trent Simpson looks the part, definitely. I remember a recruiting story about him. Clemson wasn't sure. They weren't sure they were going to take him. He came up on a visit very late in the process because Clemson was in on Justin Flo, one of the best prospects in the country who's been short-circuited by injuries. Certainly hasn't lived up to his potential eventually.
Where is he?
I think he wound up at Oregon, and then I think maybe he transferred to Arizona. Okay. He just has had a career filled with injuries, one of Mario Cristobal's recruits. But I think he just recently transferred to Arizona. So Trent Simpson, so Clemson was trying to hang on and see if they can get Justin Flo. And I think they told Justin Flo that if he took another trip, official visit, they were going to pull his scholarship. And Trent Simpson was just waiting. He was probably going to go to North Carolina with Mack Brown until that official offer came through. They sent them the offer because Flo wouldn't commit to Clemson full and say, I'm done with the recruiting process. Trent Simpson went up there and committed to Clemson, and now he's, I guess, maybe a second-day pick. So and I watched him play quite a bit. He is kind of unique for Clemson because outside of Isaiah Simmons, they've had a lot of squatty body guys who weren't real NFL draft picks, you know.
James Skalski?
Yeah, those types where you're like, They're around for 5 years, they're program
just
guys.
Just say it, stubby white guys. Say it out loud.
They weren't all stubby white guys. I think they had a guy named J.D. Davis who was a little stubby dude too. But tell you about Clemson, a couple of their linebackers or their back seven like were Brent Venables' kids. Some of those guys who would probably not be at Clemson unless their father was the defensive coordinator at the time. Those are the types of program guys, they call them, that were there. And Trenton Simpson was one. Whoa, that's a different type of athlete. And now he's going to be an NFL player. But I'm interested to see what he was because, like you said, he was more – he just looked the part, but I wasn't thoroughly impressed with him when I watched him play.
By the way, Holly is saying she wants to run to you. She misses you, and you're running away. Do you know a lot of the men –
Oh, I've seen her mentions.
Would be curious as to why you were trying to run away. A lot of people. There's a lot of people talking about this right
there's
now.
There's not though. A lot of people talking
Very
about
many
it.
People.
Every time you
a
say that.
A lot of people are saying this.
No one's talking about it. Every time you say that. About anything.
A lot of people aren't sure why that's your answer.
Are you sure? Do you understand why it's my answer?
No.
No?
No, I don't.
Okay.
You're a single man. You've got a thing for
Holly doesn't like guys who
needs to
first
stop.
Of all, I think you need to understand a couple of things. I used to do that, as John called it, that sex show with Beth Liebling on the weekend. And Holly made a couple of appearances by doing it. I was the producer for the show at the time. And Holly made a couple, maybe at least one appearance. I don't know how many times she was on. Holly doesn't like guys who speak English.
Doesn't like guys who speak English.
She prefers men who where there's a language barrier.
Oh,
so,
well,
yeah. So
I can, you know what? I respect it. That's kind of almost like a guy thing.
She prefer if you didn't have all that much to say. And clearly I do this for a living, so I do have stuff to say.
Holly is part guy.
Yeah, well, I think we came to that conclusion years ago. But she said, I'd rather he not speak English. So, guys, if you're out there tweeting Holly incorrect in complete sentences, you're doing it the wrong way. Start tweeting her in broken English. You have a shot.
You got a shot that way. When we come back, I want to get to this because Jamal Crawford had something to say. We're going to hear from Jamal Crawford, and I'm interested to get both of your thoughts. RJ, your thoughts, and Dell, definitely your thoughts as well, and I want to give you mine. Jamal Crawford had something to say about James Harden, but I promise, even if you're like out on Harden or you're not a huge basketball fan, I'm curious about people's response to what Jamal Crawford had to say. And I'm curious about what an honest response is going to be to this. We'll do that when we come back here in just a second. 713-780-3776. John Daspit with Daspit Law Firm. I ran into Tank Dell, and I'm like, Tank, dude, I tried to get you this NIL deal. I told John Daspit was trying to wanted to get you on the NIL front, but you didn't show up for the photo shoot. John was there with he had Clayton Toon, the offensive line. He did something on the football side. He's like, oh, dude, I had blah, 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 whatever he said. And I'm like, okay, if you don't like John Daspit's money because he's trying to promote you guys, and, of course, he wants his law firm out there. He wants those guys. You know, he wants to pair up with people who represent him. And one of the reasons he was all in on the basketball team is because the team, and John's a huge sports fan, but the team stands for what he stands for, which is hard, hard work, getting your nose dirty, and doing what it takes to win. And that's what the basketball team does. That's what John Daspit does. He's got 70 different lawyers in 10 different cities in Texas. He's going to expand beyond that. He's hiring lawyers right now if you're interested. But Daspit Law, you know, he's recruited some of the top lawyers around Houston to join him. He was a top lawyer over at Fulbright Jaworski for years, and he wanted to start working for people here in Houston, and not just Houston, and the entire state, and that's what he's been doing. He passionately pursues justice for the injured, and if someone else has wronged you, has injured you because of their negligence, he wants to make sure and fight for you against the insurance company who's looking to limit your payout for your injury, for your hospital bills, for the money you're missing when you miss work. They want to squeeze you as tight as possible, and he wants them to give you what is fair, and that's what John Daspit fights for. 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or go to the website for more information. You can see a video from John at DaspitLaw.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
The godfather of Houston sports radio. The preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, as promised, it's Lance Zierlein, Del Olole. I'm in Mobile, Alabama. So any draft questions you have at any point, you can jump in. You may have heard that guy who you just heard called me the preeminent draft analyst. That was unsolicited. That's his comments, and that's fine. If the world thinks that or whatever, I'm humble. I'm going to just maintain be who I am at all times. But if I am the preeminent draft analyst, okay, well, ask me questions. I'll answer it. Dell's the preeminent life advice coach. If you're looking to have a life that is unfulfilled, closed down, and full of anger, that's kind of what he did. And he knows Premier League stuff pretty well, too. And some movie stuff. 713-7803. And RJ is all things basketball. Now, since you're all things basketball, RJ, you brought this to my attention. I had actually seen it yesterday, and then you brought the audio in here. Jamal Crawford, noted gunslinger. He is a guy that never saw a shot he didn't like in his entire NBA career, so he can appreciate another shooter. Shooters are going to shoot. Scorers are going to score. James Harden, easily one of the most talented scorers in the history of basketball, knew how to get to the free throw line, knew how to get to his shots, the ability to finish with both hands near the rim. It's undeniable. Whether you like him or not, James's talent is undeniable. Crawford had an interesting question that he put to people yesterday.
I have a question about Harden. Like,
please.
Why is it that we don't give him his respect, that all the score numbers, like the stuff you see with Luka doing right now, you go back and look, Harden's doing all the same things. Why do we not give Harden his love when he was doing all the same numbers in Houston?
Did
Daryl Morey write that for Jamal Crawford?
It feels like that could have come directly from the Houston Rockets PR department circa 2018. Yes. Absolutely. Because nobody PR'd harder for James Harden than Morey and the Rockets.
Did we not? I mean, in this town, particularly later in his tenure, it was about, all right, great, regular season stuff, do it in the playoffs. That's what this town, at least sports talk, I mean, the greater Houston Rocket fan may have just been talking about how great he was and was fighting on Twitter about how great their player was and stop and give him his credit. That was happening as well. But I just know in our bubble, we always talked about, hey, can you do that in the playoffs, please? But nationally, I mean, James wasn't he first team? He won an MVP, right? Or he won an MVP, so he did get credit. He was a finalist, top three MVP voting another year. So it wasn't like James was in anonymity in this town. And sure, he got criticism, but a lot of that stemmed from the style of play and not duplicating it when it mattered most.
RJ, from an outside perspective, it was the first question you have to ask is that an accurate statement? Like, is the statement a true statement? Was James Harden not appreciated? Why did we not give him his love, his flowers, whatever? Why was that the case? But we do it for, you know, like we do for Luka. And I don't think he was trying to make it a Luka versus James. I think the conversation came up about Luka. Luka's about 6'7", James about 6'5". They both are primary ball handlers / primary scorers from the top of the key. Both can get to shots from the three-point line. Their game is actually there are some similarities to their game. RJ, from the outside looking in, because you weren't here in Houston, did you think James got the same love, for example, that Luka Doncic is getting now? Do you agree with Jamal? Do you agree with the question and the line and basically what he's trying to say, the inference that James Harden did not get the same love while he was doing it?
I don't agree. The reason why is because I thought all around NBA circles, whether you went on ESPN, NBA TV, or the NBA on TNT, I mean, hey, Charles Barkley said he thought that James Harden was the greatest isolation player he had ever seen in NBA history. Now, if that's not showing love, I don't know really what is. I mean, the only people that I heard later on down the line that said the way Harden plays isn't winning basketball was when Kobe and Tracy McGrady did an interview and said that's not sustainable when you get to the playoffs, and Kobe probably knew that better than anything in 2006. But, I mean, he was an MVP of the league. I mean, so the way he played was looked at enough and well enough by NBA pundits where they said what James Harden is doing is working and what James Harden is doing is substantial and, you know, game changing to how the NBA used to be played. This is Jordan and Kobe on another level in terms of isolation basketball. So, I mean, for Jamal Crawford to pose that question, maybe it's because people aren't criticizing Luka like we did later on with James, where it was like, okay, you're doing this, but you're not winning any championships. But I don't know if Luka is there yet. Dallas hasn't put a championship team around him. Houston tried their best to with James Harden and gave him everything that he could have ever wanted in Houston. If he wanted a guy gone, they got him gone. If he wanted a guy, they moved heaven and earth to get him. So I don't know where Jamal's trying to come from with that, but you know, I think James Harden, outside looking in, I thought he got tons of love from NBA fans in Houston and outside.
I think the one thing we have to remember now is he's making that comment based on a career of James Harden. And James Harden was not – so Luka has had, for example, 5 playoff series so far in 3 years. In 3 years, James, you know, when he was 20, he had the 1 playoff series. When he was 21, he had 1, 2, 3 playoff series. They lost in the Western Conference Finals. And then he was with Oklahoma City. So for the first 3 years of James's career, he wasn't even the number one guy. So relative to the same time frame, he wasn't even the number one. Luka is doing this. Now, how old is Luka right now? Luka is doing this at age 22. When James was 22, if you want to look at if James, when he was 22, what James was doing in the playoffs is he averaged 18.5 points a game, was his best, 5 rebounds and 3.7 assists. Luka was at his best so far, is the highest point would be 35.7. He's averaging, I'll just give you the average over 3 years, 32 points a game, 9.3 rebounds, and 7.9 assists. His shooting percentage is better in the postseason than it is in the regular season. He shots, his three-point percentage is about the same. I think we're looking at, this is where I think Jamal Crawford's off, is he's looking at James Harden through the lens of his career is headed, you know, down on the downside. I mean, he's 32 now. And so he's thinking about why didn't James get this love when he was in the heart of being really great James Harden. I would tell you that James Harden postseason was not, if you go look at the numbers, is not as good as James in a regular season from a shooting standpoint primarily. He had to take a lot more volume shots to get the same points. But James was very, very good. But James also carried the baggage of what he did, as you mentioned, what he did with coaches, what he did with other players. When James was 22, when Luka is now currently 22, we're talking about a 22-year-old who is doing all this stuff. James didn't do this when he was 22. Now, we were talking about 22-year-old Kevin Durant. We were talking about Luka like this. So I think the problem that Jamal Crawford's running into is he's talking about James really in his prime in, you know, his later 20s or mid-20s. I think mid to late 20s is what he's talking about. And James had already his first 3 years been with Oklahoma City. Luka in his first 3 years is already that dude. That's, to me, is the big difference.
And even if we take into account what James Harden did in his first couple of years here in Houston, he was kind of Teflon. In fact,
yeah,
outside of, like, I think he had like a 12 or 13 turnover game against Golden State in their first conference finals appearance. But
game 7.
Well, I think that might have been game 5 when they were
it was an elimination game.
Yeah, it was. They're the new kids on the block, and everyone's like, that's a great season for the Rockets. But most of the slander came after the repeated, if you want to call them, failures for the Rockets. I mean, but James in his first couple years here as the man, I don't think he caught slander. I mean, some people are going to hate because that's just what the internet's for, to hate people and hate on their games. But
hate.
I think if Luka, whether it's his fault or not, is 26, 27 years old and he's stacking
100%.
Playoff failures, and I put that in quotes too, back to back, he'll catch the same thing.
Absolutely.
So I think it's just too early to talk about celebrating Luka, not celebrating James, because James was, I felt like, untouchable his first couple of years because of what he was doing for as a basketball player and for the franchise.
And that's a great point, because the faster you become a superstar, and Luka's a superstar now, not a star, he's a superstar. The faster you become a superstar, that's when the clock starts running on your playoff wins, and that's when the people start digging down into your stats. They dig down into the win column. This is what happens. So Luka is going to get drilled down on because, as you said, people like to – they like to be contrarian, and so if a player is a star, that's when people come after him. I don't, you know, on the surface, I don't think you should have compared. Okay, let me alter. Did James get enough flowers? Did James get enough appreciation? Forget comparing him against Luka. I think that's where Jamal ends up hurting his own argument, because Luka is going to catch hell if all he is a guy who scores a lot in the postseason and he doesn't, you know, he's Tracy McGrady. He's just Tracy McGrady then, if he doesn't start to get more wins at a higher level and complete in Western Conference Finals and eventually get to an NBA Finals. You're right, Dale. He is going to get the same crap. Even if he's playing really well, there will at least be some group of people that are starting to challenge him. But James never got that when he was at Oklahoma City, and he didn't get that in the early years of Houston. You're 100% right. But I'll switch the question up. Did James get enough? I actually believe that if Crawford wanted to just say, did James get enough affection and enough congratulations, enough attention, was there enough attention paid to what he accomplished at one point in his career? I would actually say no. I think that the Rockets and a lot of Rocket fans were awfully frustrated, but I think it had more to do with James's personality or the perception of his personality and the perception of who he was and some of those playoff failures. I think that hurt the recognition that he should have received when he was doing some incredible things, you know, just three, 4 short years ago.
That, and I think people just didn't like the style of play. And yeah. And Daryl Morey gamed the system with his team and his heliocentric philosophy and his top player to put out a product that was very efficient, very effective, a lot of wins in the regular season, and the Rockets were competing deep into the playoffs, but people didn't appreciate James at the top of the key, step, dribble, dribble, step back, splash. People got sick of it. At points, it was, wow, this is a unique way to play. They're threes and layups, and that's all they care about. But then it became, you can stop paying attention for the first 15 seconds of the possession because you know what's going to happen. And then they got Chris Paul, and it kind of evolved a little bit. But still, at points, it was, hey, Chris, go make a play on a bigger guy, hit a mid-range jumper for a big bucket. People didn't like the way basketball was evolving, and that's why they caught a lot of that, the slander. And it helped James's career as far as production, but I don't think people valued the basketball being played, and that's why Rocket fans had to take to Twitter and defend their guy, just because people didn't like what they were looking at, despite its effectiveness.
Mm-hmm. You know what I may do? I think I've got some. I got to go by. Fly in today, but Mike over at Pete's Fine Meats. That, I know they're going to be closed, but I think I may bring in, just so we can stick it in John's face, I may make some steaks tomorrow morning. Like, wake up early enough to make steaks. How do you like your steaks? And we'll just, I think I've got some strips frozen from Pete's Fine Meats. I'm going to season them and make them. How do y'all like your steaks? And then we're going to tell John, oh, we'll just tell him somebody brought in the steaks or whatever. Because, you know, John hates nothing more than him not getting the free stuff. So I may just try to game the system and take a picture. How do you like your steaks? Or Dale, are you off red meat?
Sorry, I thought we were so past the break, you were just doing a live spot. I had checked out.
No. I'm asking you. How do you want? I may make steaks and bring that in.
I'm not gonna tell the pit master. What's your title? Grill master?
I'm grill master, pit master.
You do what you like, because unlike you, I don't tell experts how to cook their meals.
No, but you can tell me how you like your steak cooked. You want it medium? You want medium rare?
Medium
well, for God's sake.
Hey, don't judge people. I'll go medium.
Okay. What about you, RJ?
I'm medium well.
Ooh.
Okay. We'll go medium well, medium, and medium rare. Those will be the three steaks. I'll do it with, I'll go get it for Pete's, and then we'll take a picture and send John and say, oh, look what happened. You didn't get the free steak. And they're like, I want some. Save some for me. Nope, too bad. You're now in Spain. Beat it. By the way, am I going to come back to icy? Is it going to warm up at all?
Well, it was under 40 when I pulled up today. And as far as the rest of the week, you're probably looking at a 40-degree day, which is, I think, something from The Wire, I think.
40-degree day. It's nothing bad. And when I heard that on the show, I was like, 40 degrees, cold. What are y'all talking about?
Yeah, it's not great.
40 degrees is nothing.
Yeah,
40 degrees
the high,
is cold.
It'll be a high of 57 tomorrow, so it'll warm up a little
bit.
Oh,
that's a good day right there.
Yeah, it's a high of 45 right today. Not such a great day.
Okay, we'll do that. All right, 713-780-3776 is the phone number. Look at this. DraftKings stock is shooting up, Dell. That's what I'm talking about right there. 713-780-3776. We're going to break it right here. When we come back, we'll get into a couple comments about D'Amico Ryans. We're about to shut down the D'Amico stuff. Like, there's only so much praise. No one's coming out and saying anything negative. Mike Florio had one negative thing he found about the D'Amico hire. Imagine that. And we will hear from Mike when we come back here. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Around the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Is that Destiny's Child, technically, or are we just... No, oh, who's that? Oh, that's in the background? That's... Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Gotcha. What was I going to say? What was I bringing up in a second? Oh, Mike Florio. Yeah. So D'Amico Ryan's been hired. He saved the city, which was huge. Hannah McNair.
He's Batman.
I've never seen anyone gain more attention and more love than Hannah McNair. It's great. I feel the same way. I feel like something is different, and it feels like that something different is Hannah McNair. Now, you know, we all have our lanes, right? I got a lane. I need to stay in my lane. I know what my lane is.
Are you telling someone to stay in their lane?
No. That's not what I'm saying, Dale. I don't want this to be misconstrued. No.
Okay.
No. What I'm saying is, so far, so good. I like that we got some new uniforms. I'm just going to assume that Clay Walker's done. I'm just going to make that assumption.
That's a bad assumption.
If we're listening to everything that the public's saying, I'm assuming that football time in Texas is going to get
at least a
new hip hop beat, like maybe Florida Georgia Line. Maybe we'll get some
hip hop beat like Florida Georgia Line. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, or Country Joe and the other guy. Who's the black guy that looks like Karl Malone and the other guy with the top hat? Big and Rich.
That feels problematic. What you just said.
It's an actual. I think it's Big and Rich, right?
No,
the guy,
isn't
the Cowboy Keith or Cowboy Troy. Yeah, Cowboy Troy. Karl Malone.
Okay. All right.
Is Karl Malone kind of a cowboy?
He doesn't look like Karl Malone.
I don't know if he looks like him. He's just a big guy who
with the cowboy
hat
on?
Is kind of country, and that's what I always think of with Karl Malone.
Karl Malone has some other issues besides that.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Don't we have someone who doesn't look like Karl Malone coming up, like Aaron Wilson?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Aaron Wilson. Oh, I got to break it. Before we get to Aaron Wilson, though, here's Mike Florio. Mike Florio said there's one negative thing about D'Amico Ryans being hired by the Texans.
This is the only negative, and this isn't unique to D'Amico Ryans. If you aspire to have a franchise quarterback, ideally you have an offensive head coach, because if you have a defensive head coach and an offensive coordinator who works with that quarterback and does a great job with that quarterback, what happens? That offensive coordinator becomes a head coach somewhere else. And then you have to replace the offensive coordinator. That's going to be the reality for the Texans with whoever they end up with as quarterback. And that's just one of the realities of having a defensive head coach. And at some point, the defensive head coach has to develop that relationship with the quarterback. It can provide the consistency and the continuity if and when the offensive coordinator leaves. And also, it's critical to have people who are being groomed and developed to become the next offensive coordinator if things go so well, the current offensive coordinator ends up getting a head coaching job.
Who was that? Mike Granato?
I know.
Like
he
right
said
from
same
the
thing.
Crib notes of Granato.
It's exactly from the crib notes of Granato. So Granato, Mike Florio share the same brain. We're going to see what brain. Aaron Wilson has his own brain. He doesn't share brains, but Aaron Wilson constantly breaking info. You should be following Aaron Wilson on Twitter. He's going to be join us next, and we'll talk to him about what's going on with the Texans and some other NFL notes from around the league. When we come back, Aaron Wilson right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're listening to The Bench.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible, and that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.